Glenn Beck.
Oh, thank goodness I know how to think again. I know who to worship. GQ Magazine has just named their Citizen of the Year. And, of course, say it with me. When I say Citizen of the Year, you immediately think Colin Kaepernick. Right, right. You know, it kind of makes you wonder what exactly their selection criteria is. You know, some might have a hard time seeing this one. So let's just take a quick rundown on memory lane here. Back in 2013, Kaepernick was one of the best players in football. A true Citizen of the Year, you know, would have begun his activism when he was on top. But Colin mysteriously was quiet during this time. When he was everybody's favorite, he was fine. He was posing naked in ESPN's body issue. But activism? No. Uh-uh. No, didn't have time for that. He had a brand to build. Now, Kaepernick's meteoric NFL rise was rivaled only by his fall. And as his play declined and the magazine covers dried up, suddenly he appeared very, very interested on oppression. Colin, you know, didn't have to move far to, you know, begin his taking a knee position. I mean, because, you know, he was sitting right there on the bench. It was just a real quick trip right to the ground. But GQ apparently didn't find this suspicious that when he was on top, he was doing naked magazine stuff. And then when he was at the bottom and nobody wanted to talk to him, suddenly he found things that were just too horrible. He had to speak out. They elevated him to the level yesterday in GQ of Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson. Whew. Forget the fact that he was never interested in speaking out until it became convenient for him to do so. And when it stopped being convenient, as is his prospects in the NFL ran out, he went silent for an entire year to try to get his job back. So let me just recap Colin Kaepernick's Citizen of the Year campaign. The winner of GQ's award went to a man that began a misguided cause for selfish reasons and then who abandoned that misguided cause again for selfish reasons. Oh, and I haven't even mentioned the fact that he glorifies Che Guevara, a mass murderer. And he even has admitted that he doesn't even vote. This qualifies him to be the Citizen of the Year? Give me a second here. How many people can you just, now, just off the top of your head, that might deserve that a little? Just real quick. How about J.J. Watt? He raised over $37 million to help victims of Hurricane Harvey. $37 million. Completely on his own. No outside help. No selfish reasons. What do you think about him? How about, what was the guy's name? Stephen Williford. He was the guy, the private citizen that exercised his rights, the Second Amendment, and in the process stopped a mass murderer. He wasn't a cop. He was just a guy who ran out of the house, grabbed his gun because his neighbors were being shot to death. He didn't even have shoes on. Well, he didn't have a deal with Nike. I don't know if we can put him on GQ. How about the police that took down the New York City truck terrorist, or the Green Berets that died fighting terrorists in Niger, or Colette Sulzer, the woman who sacrificed her own life to save her infant daughter from the waters of Hurricane Harvey? No, Colin Kaepernick, he's the guy. Those are examples of heroes committing uncommon acts of selflessness, in the same way that Jackie Robinson did, in the same way that Muhammad Ali did. Can GQ say the same for Colin Kaepernick?
It's Tuesday, November 14th. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
We have the one, the only, John Ziegler with us. A columnist, a podcast host, and a really smart guy. who you're going to find yourself disagreeing with from time to time, as it should be. Welcome to the program. How are you, John?
Glenn, great to talk to you. That was a tremendous commentary on Colin Kaepernick, by the way. For a guy who doesn't know football. I'm guessing Stu might have helped you with the football stuff.
Well, he might have helped me with the football stuff, but a little. Maybe. I saw Colin Kaepernick yesterday, and I'm like, you got to be kidding. I mean, this is just, I can't take it anymore. John, I have to, you'll have to look this up. We have in the studio you'll get a kick out of this. We have a jacket. Can you bring it over here?
Yeah, sure.
We have a jacket that is a like an army jacket, and the designers have taken a Sharpie. I'm not kidding you. It's a Sharpie, and they've written Revolution on the front, the anarchist symbol. They've written, they tried to bury us, but they did not know we were seeds. The bombing for peace is like effing for virginity. My favorite is, I am valuable, I am powerful, I am deserving. And it's written all over this jacket. They're selling this jacket at Barney's in New York for $400.
And people wonder how Trump got elected.
I mean, this is. And by the way, here's a Molotov cocktail while you're going around the store, and you just throw it through any window. I mean, that's insanity. Just insanity.
There's a lot of that going around.
Okay. So, John, help me out. I am uncomfortable. I'm finding myself in this position where, as Stu said today, I am both the biggest defender and the biggest critic of Roy Moore, apparently, online. because I believe the accusers, but I'm also very cautious here because this can turn into a witch hunt. If it hasn't already, it will at some point.
Yeah, I think your instincts are excellent on this. And I think that the Roy Moore situation has caused a real problem for those of us who believe in things like precedence and not causing, you know, a situation where we're setting new rules that are going to come back to haunt us in the future. I think that, and I'm somebody who does not like Roy Moore. I think he's a nut. I don't believe he belongs in the Senate. I tend to believe the accusers, but I also know that the standards that are being used to evaluate those accusers are very different than they were, for instance, with Bill Clinton.
That's oh my gosh, I can't.
And I think we're seeing this in almost all of these instances of sex abuse hysteria, which has now taken over the culture since Harvey Weinstein, which I wrote about in Media yesterday. I mean, the New York Daily News over the weekend had 11 guys on their front page of their newspaper, not one of whom has ever been sued publicly or charged with a crime, with the headline Perv Nation. And with regard to Moore specifically, I think that where I differ with regard to the mob yesterday is, you know, take a look at that yearbook inscription, which I fully acknowledge is weird and creepy for a guy much older than the girl was at the time.
I mean, have you ever signed outside of high school, John? Have you ever signed a high school yearbook?
No,
neither have I. There seems to be a lot of them floating around with his signature in it, which is weird.
No. And look, and I think that it absolutely goes to the idea that this guy had a thing for young girls. There's no question about that. But yesterday's story was assault. That's very different.
Yes.
And to me, the idea that a very friendly, perhaps overly friendly, yearbook inscription 40 years later can be used, as it was being used yesterday, as proof of an assault 40 years later? That should scare the living daylights out of anybody, because we are setting rules up now where it is exceedingly easy to destroy somebody based upon a false story. And let's be clear about something. This is the part the media will never accept because it's way too politically incorrect. But one of the things that has happened to our culture, and I'm not saying this has anything to do with Roy Moore, okay? I want to make this clear. But there's no question that in our culture over the last generation, being a victim no longer has any stigma. In fact, for many people, being a victim is something to champion, that you can embrace being a victim, and you can get paid a heck of a lot of money now in our culture under the right circumstances for being a victim. And so the pendulum has swung so much, understandably so. Look, there was a time when no one wanted to come forward and tell these stories, and it was too tough to prove. I get that. But in an effort to try to correct that, we have gone so far in the other direction, and now the media is publishing, major news outlets are publishing allegations, not just against Roy Moore, but against, you know, minor celebrities from 30 years ago, based upon nothing but somebody's word, when they haven't been charged with a crime, they haven't been even sued. And to me, you know, whenever the news media is involved in a firestorm that involves emotional hysteria, their completion percentage is way worse than Colin Kaepernick's. Okay?
Is that possible? I don't know. Yeah.
So John, so let's, can we just go through this for a second? Because, for instance, George Takei, I don't like this guy at all. However, I heard, you know, the one story and thought, okay, this is not cool. I mean, 30 years ago, one guy. How is this news? And then I heard him on, you know, I heard the tape of him on Howard Stern, and I'm like, well, he's kind of admitting that that's what he did. So I don't know. Out of all of them, I tend to believe the people, unless there was a personal relationship with the person. If there's a personal relationship with somebody, then I generally don't. Then I look at it and say, I don't know. However, I don't know. I don't want to defend, but I don't want to condemn.
Look, I'm actually somewhat similar to where you are, but I want to take this out of the theoretical and put it into the practical, you know, especially for someone like you, Glenn. Because none of the stories that have been prominently reported to me make my BS detector, which is pretty finely tuned, go off, okay? But that doesn't mean they're real. But I'm just saying that none of them are like, wait a minute, there's no way that's true. But think about the rules that we're now creating, with George Takei being a pretty good example. I mean, what relevance is George Takei in our culture today? I mean, he's not running for anything. He doesn't run a business, but let's take a look at these new rules, and let's put this in the form of you, Glenn, okay? Because I actually think that you are maybe the most vulnerable person to a false accusation of sex abuse that I can think of. Let's go through the criteria now that's been created in the last few weeks. Is the person sufficiently famous? Check. Are they not particularly beloved by the masses of the media? Jack.
Hey, let's not give anybody ideas.
No, keep building this roadmap. I like it, John. Keep going.
Does he claim to be of a high moral character so they can accuse him of hypocrisy?
Jack.
Is he in charge of hiring and firing large groups of people?
Jack.
Jack. Has he recently fired a young woman known for her sex appeal?
Uh-oh. Jack.
Is he not attractive enough so that it would be widely believed that any sort of sexual act with an attractive female would therefore have to be consensual?
I
actually feel like he's guilty right now after that, if you're laying it out like that.
Now, luckily, the Blaze hasn't recently fired any attractive woman who would be seen as credible by the rest of the news media. So you have that going for you, which is nice. So, you know, that's about the only thing you have in your favor is that woman's lack of credibility.
All right.
But I think you can see where I'm going with this.
Yeah, I can.
Any allegation against you would be instantly believed now, and it would be reported.
Well, so here's
and as soon as it's reported, it's over.
Yeah, I know.
It's over.
So here's the amazing thing. Media Matters it's well documented. They spent over $1 million to try to discredit me. And find something on me. I mean, Cheryl Atkinson outlines it in her own book. Mm-hmm. And I remember people going through my garbage. I mean, we knew people were going through my stuff to try to find. We knew private investigators were doing investigations on me. I was clean, so I wasn't worried. Today, John, it doesn't matter if they have anything. They can completely make it up. And you're right. It's over within the day.
And there's no way to defend yourself now, because the forces of political correctness have taken away the very few weapons that anyone would theoretically have. Like, for instance, you know, when the Harvey Weinstein thing, and I think Harvey Weinstein's guilty of just about everything he's been accused of. But, you know, do you remember there was this big controversy because Lisa Bloom wanted to use friendly photos of him with his accusers after the fact. Now, if you're not allowed to even use those, if that's taken off the table, if that's verboten, if that's politically incorrect, what is somebody supposed to do?
Look at what happened with
negative.
Look at with Sean Hannity. What happened with Sean Hannity? That was not a softball interview. He did ask him tough questions. And he's being called a supporter of a child molester, and they're trying to pull his advertisement because what? He let the man tell his story?
I agree that that's, and I'm no fan of Sean, as you know, but I agree that is a very dangerous precedent. And interestingly, you know, Bill O'Reilly called me yesterday after my column. I haven't spoken to Bill in a decade, or almost a decade, and, you know, I've been one of those who has been suspect of the idea that anyone could pay $32 million on a false story. But as you know, Glenn, and I have to tell you, I mean, you've been, you know, somewhat supportive of Bill, and that's made me go, wait a minute, there's got to be something here.
Did you talk to him?
There's no question in my mind that Bill believes that he was railroaded.
Yeah.
100%. Now, if that's the case, I don't know. I would like to find out more. I think he needs to explain better the $32 million. He says he can't for legal reasons. But, you know, but my mind is now even open to that. I mean, because that's the environment we're living in. Things that would be impossible are actually exceedingly possible. As you guys know, my history on the Penn State case, which I'm still investigating, and big things might be happening on soon. I mean, these things are happening on a constant basis now, and we're setting very, very dangerous precedents and new rules that we are going to rue in very short order.
John, where should people go to find you?
FreeSpeechBroadcasting.com is where my podcast is, and Mediate is where my columns are.
Yeah, really, really, really good. I highly recommend you listen and follow John. He says it, he shoots right from the hip. And you may not like it sometimes, but he shoots right from the hip. Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Glenn.
It's amazing. I look at these accusers and I say, they seem pretty credible. But I was thinking of the way that we talked about that. We all said these things. I said, seems pretty credible. He said, my BS detector isn't going off. And you said, I tend to believe the victims. These are not standards that you ruin people's lives over.
No.
It's impossible to see how we're going to turn back from this.
Glenn Beck.
This is a geek day for me. This is double geekdom. ELO announced a 10-city North American tour today, which I will fly to Greenland to see them. And the only other person that I feel this way about is Michael Bublé. And he's just announced his first concert since his son has been sick.
Yeah, his son had diagnosed with cancer, and it's been a while since he's performed anywhere. He will be performing, you'll have to travel a little bit, British Summertime in Hyde Park, July 2018. Only performance in the UK that year. So you got one shot at this.
It's coming this summer?
2018, July.
In July. Well, we might miss that one, but welcome back, Michael Bublé.
Glenn Beck. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
If you've missed any of the show today, you've missed a lot. You missed Bob Lutz, the former General Motors executive, former vice chairman and head of development at General Motors, who talks. We spent an hour with him talking about the future, what it means to the auto industry. He says cars are over in the next 15 to 20 years, and you won't own your own car, and there won't be automakers like General Motors and I think he said BMW and Mercedes were specialty car companies that he said they were the smaller car companies that would probably go out of business because they're a specialty line. Mm. Pretty amazing. If you missed it, go check it out at glennbeck.com. Also, there's a couple of other things. The AR chainsaw video that we actually built one on Friday, and I took it to the range, and it works pretty well. I mean, I want to thank USA Today for the chainsaw bayonet idea. But it works pretty well, and you can check that out at glennbeck.com as well. There's a lot up there today. Pat Gray joins us now from Pat Gray Unleashed.
I'm just finishing up here.
What are you ready?
Stay your same sweet self and have a bitchin' summer.
Oh, just
okay.
Signing your yearbook?
I was over at the malt shop signing
malt
your yearbooks.
Really?
And,
oh, wow. Right.
Couldn't get them all finished up before I had to come out here. So,
yeah. You know, I have to tell you, Pat.
Roy was with me, and you know, it's a nice time.
Yeah.
It's a nice time.
Yeah. Pat, Stu and I were talking earlier today. I can't remember, outside of high school, I can't remember the last yearbook I signed.
Outside of high school?
Outside of high school.
I didn't sign that many in high school.
I didn't either.
So, yeah, since high school, the grand total is, other than today at the malt shop.
Yeah. Carry the one.
Bring that down. None. Zero.
Okay. Zero.
Zero. None.
Zero.
Yeah. None.
Mm. As John Ziegler pointed out, it does not mean you are guilty of rape if you sign a yearbook.
Of course not.
However... the fact that he said he had never heard of the restaurant before,
and kind of the problem.
Wrote it in the yearbook is a problem.
Hey, Old Hickory Restaurant. What's the Old Hickory Restaurant? Never heard of it.
Words I heard. I thought of at that time. Had nothing to do with an actual restaurant.
Let me play devil's advocate here. I am not sticking up for the guy because I believe the accusers. I really do. So I'm not sticking up for him, but let me play devil's advocate here.
Mm-hmm.
That A, the handwriting looks like his. We don't know if it is his. It looks like his.
They haven't had an expert yet, to my knowledge, have they?
No.
That has gone over that.
No.
Right.
Which would make sense. Why aren't you doing that?
Yeah, it looks like his. Okay, let's make sure it is his.
Right.
And even if it is his, you know, the problem comes in saying, I don't know what Old Hickory is. I mean, it's not that big of a town, dude. I mean, how did you forget the Old Hickory restaurant?
Mm-hmm.
But he says he doesn't know what it is. But just because he signed it, she's 16 years old. She's working as a waitress. She's in high school. She's got her yearbook there. The DA comes in. He's famous. I want him to sign my yearbook. Hey, you know, Mr. Moore, will you sign my yearbook? Sure. What's your name? Blah, blah, blah. And he writes down Old Hickory because that's where they met. That's feasible.
Oh, yeah.
That is feasible.
It is.
It's at least a shadow of a doubt. Now, again, I don't want him in the Senate. I wasn't for him in the first place, but I would love to have a conservative in the Senate, but I just don't want a guy who is touching little girls.
It doesn't seem like a high hurdle to clear.
No, it doesn't. But it, you know what? In Washington, it seems to be, doesn't it?
It does seem to be more.
It really does.
Lately.
I don't know what to think anymore. I didn't believe it at first. I was kind of thinking, okay, I still can't get past the timing of it. The timing is amazing. I mean, what an amazing coincidence that all of a sudden, 1 month before the special election, all of this starts coming out.
Well,
you've had
May I play devil's advocate again?
You may.
If I can play devil's advocate, this hasn't just come out of the blue. This is because... Harvey Weinstein came out, and now all of a sudden America is saying, you know, bring out your dead.
Yes.
And so everybody now is purging. And so it just happens to coincide. There's two ways to look at it. I could convict the guy, and at the same time, I could convince myself there's reasonable doubt. Let him alone. So I don't know what to do.
I think a good solution is what they're kind of talking about with Sessions. Do a writing campaign with him and put him back in the Senate. Since Trump's not happy with him anyway, you know, they're not getting along.
There's no way there's going to be a writing campaign.
I don't know. It's only worked once that I can remember.
Elect him and then let the Senate dismiss him, and there'll have to be another special election.
Look, the Alabama voters have a right to be able to choose. And Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell and Ted Cruz and Mike Lee can all come out and say that they don't endorse him anymore, but it's got nothing to do with them. The people in Alabama have to choose this. And I just don't like the idea that they're making decisions based on these things. It'd be nice if they were just, you know, being able to vote on policy and things like that. But I mean, this is a legit, it's not a throwaway issue if it's true.
It's not like you had somebody that was, a hero that just, saved you know, saved lives at the ballpark just a few
just a and few a real conservative before. That has one of the best audio clips of all time when he told when MSNBC said,
"Well, it's not like you had that guy to choose from."
Exactly. I'm going to actually. I think I'm going to make a something to post on the internet today of "Don't blame me. I voted for Mo Brooks," because I do think that that is a it's a frustrating part of this, because it wasn't like it was establishment versus Moore and that was it. You had a guy who was a real conservative that has never done anything wrong, that was he was resuscitating people at a mass shooting like 2 months before the election, and they're still like, no, let's take that other guy. Like, come on, Alabama.
Well, Alabama, I mean, you know, Roy Moore is a hero in Alabama because of, I think Alabama still votes for him.
I think he has got a good chance to
based
win too,
on the
honestly.
People I've talked to from Alabama. This makes some of them more likely to vote for him
because they see
because
it as an
it's
out,
kind of a it's kind of an in your face. Mm-hmm. It's like a Donald Trump thing. Mm-hmm. The media is trying to sway this election, and so they're going against the tide.
Someone pointed out to I think it was on one of the news channels yesterday that it would have probably been more likely to sink him in this campaign if it came from a local paper. The idea that it comes from the Washington Post just
pisses
feels like
off.
This out like attack from around the country. They're just coming after our guy.
Did you see the reporters, the local reporters that talked about that? They're pissed at themselves because they all said, we've known this forever. I mean, this is a well-known thing,
which is bad.
Yeah.
It's bad.
And they've said, but nobody ever talked about it. Everybody knew about it, so it wasn't really news. And it took, you know, the Washington Post to come down because it was new to them. And we were like, oh, crap. Well, yeah, we should have done that.
Now, are they saying it was well known that the guy dated young girls?
Yes.
That he was dating... well known that he did, you know, he dated 14-year-olds?
No, right. That he was dating very young.
Yeah.
And yet again, that is the line here. I mean, the accuser that came out yesterday accused him of
attempted
assault.
Rape.
Right. An actual assault, which is a different line. But the first story, and again... because it's Gloria Allred, I have no idea whether to put any stock into this person. I you know, it's just because she just so automatically taints anything
she
involved
does.
In. Which is, I don't know why you go to her.
Yeah. She's the white Al Sharpton.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's because you just don't trust anything that comes out coming from that camp. I don't know you go that direction.
She stands next to her, just like Al Sharpton, stands next to a, quote, victim. And Gloria Allred, the same way, stands next to a, quote, victim. And you automatically go, well, I don't think I believe them.
Right,
just because of her. She hurts the victim.
Because, I mean, everyone can... You can relate to someone who felt like it was tough to come out. You can relate to someone who went through a terrible tragedy. I can't relate to someone who thinks the best way to handle that is to go to Gloria Allred. It's such an impossible hurdle for me to clear, to use that phrase again. It's just like, you're in the worst situation of your life. You're trying to explain something. You're going on the national stage, and you go to this person who has been so shady and... in my mind, discredited over a long period of time. Mm-hmm. It just seems like such a crazy step to take.
Yeah.
That
Do you believe her? Not Gloria Allred. Do you believe the
this latest one didn't seem believable to me.
How much of that is Gloria Allred?
Seriously.
Yeah. I think a lot.
Yeah.
And it reminded me the whole time I was thinking of the Duke lacrosse team with Al Sharpton. Mm-hmm. It was the same sort of scenario.
It's the Gloria Allred thing. Because I tried, I immediately dismissed her. And then I went back and I was like, okay, watch her with a hand over Gloria Allred sitting right next to her. And it reminded me of the Juanita Broderick interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe Juanita. I believe her 100%.
It's amazing how little attention that case has received. I mean, you pointed this out earlier, Glenn. If they come out and start hammering Bill Clinton and take down Bill Clinton from these allegations, multiple allegations over many years, then you'll start to take them seriously.
Yeah, I won't take the left seriously until they go after Bill Clinton. When they say, you know what? What we did to Juanita Broderick and Paula Jones, Kathleen Willey, all of those people that
dozens
were very credible, and what we did to them by dismissing them and playing politics, we're going to believe them. Then they have something. Then I'm like, okay, all right, they're serious. Until they do that, they have no credibility, none, zero.
And you're starting to see a little bit of that now. I mean, during Hillary's campaign, BuzzFeed had an extensive profile of Juanita Broderick, which was, I would say, very favorable to her and her story.
She is so credible. She is so credible. She's the most credible. I remember seeing her on 60 Minutes back in the 90s. And I remember watching that going, okay, I don't know about Paula Jones. I mean, it seems credible, blah, blah, blah. But Juanita, absolutely credible. And she's more dangerous for the Clintons because, remember, her charge is she was having an affair with him. Or no, she was raped by him. Yeah. She was raped by him. Mm. And then Hillary came up and said, what you've done with my husband. I know what's happened with my husband or something like this. And I just want you to know.
How at a fundraiser, she did this.
How important you are to me. And she said it was so creepy and evil, she couldn't take it. When they take Juanita Broderick seriously, that's when you will be able to say, okay, let's talk about other people now. But until you take on your own, and it's the same with us. If we don't take people seriously with Trump, with Roy Moore or anybody else, and that doesn't mean condemn them. That means listen to it. Do not just say it's a political game and then use your common sense. Is this true? Is this not? I don't want to condemn anybody. I also don't want to support them because I don't know. I don't know.
Pat, you didn't sign that last year. Up there.
Have a bitching summer.
You did that the last time.
Class of 18.
Okay. Good.
All right, all done.
18, you didn't finish the rest. 78. 1878.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Thank you very much,
it's Pat. An old yearbook.
Yeah. He's got old fans.
He is, I guess so. Pat Gray on
Who hangs out at the malt shop? Who hangs out at the malt shop?
I don't know, but a malt sounds freaking delicious. Ever since he said that, that's all I've thought about. That's because I'm overweight. Pat Gray Unleashed is coming up on the Blaze Radio and TV Network. You can also subscribe to the podcast at iTunes and everywhere else.
Glenn Beck.
It's really happy to be part this year of the Mercury One Ball and be part of the team that the rules committee for the grand prize of a 2017 truck, GMC Canyon pickup truck.
You're part of the rules committee?
Yeah, we had a couple. I mean, most of it was pretty much the same as last year, except for obviously we did change the employees eligibility thing,
right?
Now you are eligible as an
employee. Yeah, I don't think so. No.
And obviously I will be selecting the winning entry.
None of those things are true.
Which I think we can make them true.
No, we can't.
If somebody wants half the price of a truck, we can make them true.
No. What do I look like? Martha Stewart? Okay, so here's I'm sorry, Martha, because look at me lately. So we're giving away this brand new GMC Canyon pickup truck. And if you would like to win, you can enter our raffle. All the proceeds go to Mercury One and help us, you know, get to rescue people in the Middle East, get to the floods and the hurricanes and the fires and everything else. This is our yearly fundraiser, mercuryone.org/M1ball. And there's lots of things you could do. Register to win the truck. There's a good chance you win this truck. You don't have to be present to win. You can, there's stuff for auction that you can buy, including, I think, they're probably not up yet, but the paintings that I just did, I just finished, I brought them in. They're the three,
really cool.
The three people that brought the Berlin Wall down, Margaret Thatcher, Pope John Paul, and Ronald Reagan. You can bid on those. You can come and attend the ball, which is Saturday, and Aaron Watson's going to be performing. It's going to be a great time. And we have a big announcement that we're making on Saturday.
And obviously, as part of the rules committee, I will be there as well.
No, you very will important. Be there, but you're not part of the rules committee.
Fine.
It's mercuryone.org/M1ball. We'll see you tonight at 5 o'clock, part two of our series on Antifa. What do they really stand for? Don't miss it.
Glenn Beck.